Hello and welcome to this podcast from Control Risks, the global specialist risk consultancy. I'm Casper Layton, and today we're talking about the kidnap and extortion environment that businesses face in South Africa. The country has one of the highest rates of violent crime in Africa, and though kidnap for ransom is eclipsed by other crimes, including armed robbery and carjacking, it is increasingly perceived as a central feature of the security environment after several highly publicised incidents. To discuss this, I'm joined by one of our special risks analysts, Sebastian Bowe. Sebastian, could we maybe start with an overview of the kidnap environment in South Africa?
Thanks very much, Casper. Yes, so most kidnaps that we record are committed in and around the country's larger cities, so including Johannesburg, Pretoria, Cape Town and Durban. And also, we record a fairly significant proportion of kidnaps for ransom in the Eastern Cape, particularly around the area of East London. Of course, many more kidnap incidents are thought to occur, but go unreported to both the police and the national media. And most of these will be occurring in remote areas or communities with high crime rates, where crimes like kidnap for ransom aren't always reported. In terms of who's doing the kidnapping, who the kidnappers are, so the kidnapping environment in South Africa is exclusively criminal in nature, almost exclusively financially motivated, and kidnaps frequently arise opportunistically, so out of other crimes in progress like carjacking or home invasion, burglary, where criminals might see an opportunity to carry out a kidnap for ransom for an increased return on the action.
So who is being kidnapped? Are business personnel at particular risk?
So non-permanent residents, i.e. people who are in the country for brief stays for either professional or personal reasons like tourists, are rarely kidnapped, although isolated incidents do occur, of course. We have recorded incidents where victims were lured to South Africa on the promise of a business deal or a romantic liaison, and then kidnapped upon their arrival there. There's also been a headline-grabbing series of kidnaps of business people of mainly South Asian descent over recent years, and these have mostly occurred in the major cities, including Cape Town, Pretoria, Johannesburg, and Durban. And these affect, again, business people, often in the retail area or real estate industries as well. In general, high net worth individuals are at risk of kidnap for ransom, specifically if they're particularly prominent or if their wealth is publicly reported, they might be at risk of a targeted kidnapping by criminal gangs. Kidnaps also affect a wider range of victims, and there have been recently several high-profile incidents involving children or dependents, which have generated a lot of interest and concern amongst our clients. Our position on that trend is that we think it's more a matter of increased reporting of incidents rather than a material increase of kidnaps of dependents. But of course, there's no doubt that the risk exists. However, it's also important to say that the great majority of dependent kidnaps of children that we record end in the safe release of the victim. Once people are kidnapped, the trend in South Africa is that most victims are held for less than a week before being released after a brief negotiation and often the payment of a ransom. However, it's also interesting to note that in the cases I just mentioned involving the South Asian community business people, these kidnaps can stretch into weeks or sometimes months.
Drawing on our global analysis and expertise in this area, are there any associated trends that businesses in South Africa should be aware of?
Yes, so another feature of the kidnapping environment in many areas of the world, including especially Latin America, is the phenomenon of express kidnapping. So Control Risks records multiple cases of express kidnapping every year in South Africa. Express kidnapping is a short-term kidnap in which the perpetrators or the kidnappers force a victim to withdraw money out of their own bank accounts from ATMs, cash points, to secure their own release. Often this occurs while the victims are being driven around in a car. They're held briefly, occasionally held overnight so that the kidnappers can then access the maximum daily limit from an ATM using the same person's card the following day, at which point they're released. So the vast majority of express kidnaps are opportunistic and occur at street level. And that's a trend around the world, especially in major cities and in high crime areas. And in South Africa and other African countries, as well as Latin America, we have seen the use of fake taxis or fake public transportation, minibuses, by express kidnappers. And of course, fake taxis can potentially affect foreign visitors. The rapid duration and fluidity of express kidnaps make it a preferred tactic for criminals because it reduces the risk to them, and they're more likely to make a clean getaway as opposed to longer-lasting kidnaps for ransom, especially of foreigners, where they're held for a longer time, which is likely to generate significant media coverage and police pressure on those criminals.
Okay, so that's an overview of the kidnap environment in South Africa. Let's turn to extortion now, if we may. What's the extortion threat to multinationals and larger local companies?
Sure. So the extortion threat to businesses in South Africa is quite mature. Businesses operating in South Africa are exposed to a spectrum of extortive behavior and threatening behavior, stemming from a variety of sources and for a variety of reasons, which can include things like hiring quotas and local partner contracting and local suppliers. So what we see in South Africa fairly often is that the hiring practices in terms of quotas and other local content rules that are, in most cases, enshrined in law, are aggressively pursued or can be aggressively pursued by organized labor unions, as well as community advocacy groups, some of which are known to occasionally resort to threats of violence or operational disruption to achieve those goals. So advocacy groups or labor unions from specific communities or specific industries are sometimes known to use these aggressive tactics to steer jobs or contracts or other opportunities towards their members or their fee-paying associates. Some political parties may also do this, may do the same for their members in terms of trying to steer or convince companies or organizations to give jobs to their specific members as opposed to others. In areas home to projects, especially with large workforces, where unemployment may be high and competition for jobs is fierce. So as well as intimidation and threats of harm to individual personnel, actors such as these can also do other types of disruption. They can blockade work sites, they can cut off necessary service to work sites, like electricity or water provision. Or they can attempt or threaten to inflict reputational damage to organizations through news media campaigns or on social media, for example. And of course, local suppliers themselves can also be a source of threatening or aggressive tactics in attempting to steer contracts to themselves or to gain an advantage versus their rivals by, again, employing these aggressive or threatening behaviors to funnel contracts to themselves from companies who may be already present or who may be entering the market in South Africa.
Okay, and what's the outlook for this particular risk to business in the controller's opinion?
So in the current political and labor climate in South Africa, we believe that these actors are likely to continue these tactics, continue to pursue these tactics, and that this will particularly affect goods and services companies entering the market, as well as more mature businesses. But especially what we're looking at is the new quote-unquote gig economy providers who are coming into the market and they're offering cheaper, more convenient services, which have the potential to undercut local providers and provoke this kind of hostility from these actors that I just mentioned.
Okay, let's leave it there for the time being. Thank you very much. That's Sebastian Bow, one of our special risks analysts here. And you can find more analysis of kidnap and extortive crimes on our website, controlrisks.com, along with lots of other insights from control risk experts around the world. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.